God. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, it's our desire to give you glory and honor. It's our desire. And we bless you and we worship you. I just have a sense, you know, from the Lord, he wants to be gracious to us. You know, I think it's in Romans 8 where the scripture says that God did not spare his own son, but he gave him up for us all. How much more along with him will he graciously give us all things? And just the generosity of God and his graciousness to us. And I have that real sense today for the meeting, just in praying for the meeting, of the generosity of God. He wants to be gracious and show his love to us. So what I want to talk today about is, I said, I made this statement, and I thought, after making the statement after I'd been overseas, I thought it's important that I try to back it up with a talk. So we'll see how it goes. But I believe that God wanted to take us to another level of breakthrough in the Holy Spirit in every area of our lives. And the key to that increase, I believe, is understanding and growing in the gift of faith. So that's what I want to talk about, the gift of faith. Otherwise, what happens is, and a lot of the spiritual writers will say this, Smith Wigglesworth used to say this, he said, the moment you become content in your walk with God is the day you start to backslide. Because our relationship with the Lord is a living relationship. And what happens, the kingdom of God's always expanding. So God takes us from glory to glory. And the important thing is, if we're not pressing in or contending for what God wants to release to us, we can miss out what he wants to do. So that's what I want to talk about today, understanding and growing in faith. But just a point, because faith's one of those subjects that's very, very commonly misunderstood, or it's hard to understand. And I heard it said once that you don't have faith until it's been tested. So faith doesn't necessarily give you all the answers to your prayers. And that's a good way to start the talk when we're talking about understanding and growing in faith. Faith doesn't necessarily give you all the answers to your prayer, but enduring faith does. Enduring faith brings answers with character. So sometimes you have to be tested in the fire to receive the promises of God. And Joe got up about that, the Waymaker, that song. Even though, what's the verse? Even though, you never stop. I don't know the words, but I don't feel it, I don't see it. And it's where enduring faith, this is it, one of the keys. This is just the start of the talk. It's not really the talk, but it's really important to say, because to have faith, you have to be tested with faith, tested in it to be purified like gold. So you have to go through the fire. But in that fire, if you persevere in enduring faith, you get answers. Maybe not the answers that you wanted, but you get answers with character. And you know God in the midst of all storms. And you know that he's trustworthy. And then you know that he's your anchor and you can trust him. So I just wanted to say that at the start of the talk, because there's a lot of things that I cannot cover. So I want to try and look at understanding and growing in faith. What does it mean according to the scripture? The closest the Bible comes to, the closest definition I could find, which is a definition probably most of us have heard, is Hebrews 11, verse 1. And it says this: now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. So from this particular passage, we see that the central feature of faith is confidence or trust in God who is unseen. That's why it's difficult. And this sort of talks about the nature of faith, because in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. And he talks about what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. So faith is this gift that gives us the ability to see the unseen, who is God, and be able to follow God in the midst of our lives in this unseen realm. It's a gift because God's unseen. So he has to give us a gift to be able to follow him. So it's a gift. Because it's a gift, it has to be nurtured, which we'll see. So the nature of faith is the way we relate to God, and it's this gift that God gives us to relate to him, to be able to follow him, which is obvious, isn't it? If I'm a father to my children, I want them to follow me so I can teach them. God's the same, but he gives us this gift, and a lot of times we misunderstand it or we don't understand it and we get confused and we can be discouraged. Most people pray, including myself, with hope instead of faith. So when things don't happen the way we want them to, I'm disappointed because I'm praying in hope, not in faith. Faith, the scripture says, is assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So it's this gift of God at work in my heart to see and to hear as he hears, as I follow him. So in the Bible, the object of faith is God and his promises. Or the object of faith is our direct relationship with God and his promises. That's what the gift does. It brings us into this relationship with God and the promises that he wants to release over our lives. Again, it's relational. It's a relationship we come into. It's not a transaction. A lot of people see faith as if I do this, this, and this, God will do this. And that's exactly what it isn't. It's a relationship. So a clear example of this is Abram, before he was named Abraham, and it's his encounter with God in Genesis 15. Now, it's in response to God's promise for Abram. And God's promise to Abram was that he would have countless descendants. So say the word countless descendants. So that was a promise God made to Abraham, that he would be the father of nations. A great nation. And it's quite interesting because when God gave him that promise, he was 100 years old and Sarah, his wife, was 90. So in the natural, it was an impossibility. And this is what you see the nature of faith. Because it's a gift from God, it elevates us into the supernatural where we operate in God's economy and God's realm. And it connects us to his power. And this was a promise that God gave Abram, who became Abraham, that he would have descendants, countless descendants. The scripture says in Genesis 15:6, Abraham, or Abram, believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, Paul the Apostle, commenting on this scripture from Genesis 15, says this. Now, this I found this scripture and it's really ministered to me when I read it. And I hopefully it will minister to you too. Just the simple reality of faith. And it's in Romans 4, 20, verse 21. And I'm reading from the ESV. And it says this. This is about Abram. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promises of God. Okay? No unbelief made him waver concerning the promises of God. Has anyone here ever wavered in your relationship with God or the promises that God has spoken over your life? This is what it says. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promises of God, but he grew strong in his faith. This is the key. As he gave glory to God. Isn't that incredible? How do you grow strong in faith? Giving glory to God. It's that simple. It's that simple. Do we want a breakthrough in our lives? Do we want to move into a new level in the Holy Spirit? Do we want to come into the promises of God that he's spoken over our lives? We have to operate in this gift of faith. But how we grow strong in faith has how Abraham did. He was strengthened in his faith as he gave glory to God. And then verse 21, look, fully convinced, that's what the scripture says, as he gave glory, he was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. What was the object of faith? God and his promises. when he gave glory to God, when God was put in his rightful place, when he ministered to God first, the promises of God were released over him. An impossibility for Abraham at 100 and Sarah, his wife, at 90. An impossibility for you and me to come into the glory of God, to come into the presence of God, to come into the promises of what God wants to release over your life. It's an impossibility except by the gift of faith. But as we give glory to God, as we put God in his rightful place, then we then become fully convinced that he's able to do what he's promised. And that's where God reveals himself. Why? Because it's relationship. We're coming into a relationship with a living God. No limitation on God. No limitation. Guess what? There's no limitation on your life except what God says over your life. There's no limitation. Nothing. It's all been removed because of the righteousness that comes by faith. We come into right relationship with God. And what God says over our life, we can move into that. If we operate in this gift, incredible gift that God's given us. So the first point here is worship brings us into God's realm, the realm of promise, the realm of supernatural possibilities, where, as Jesus said in Mark, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible in accordance with God's will over our lives. All things. There's no restriction over our lives. Now, who really believes that God wants to bless them? Well, all things are possible in that blessing for you. The blessing is righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Who would like some of that today? Well, it's there because it's God's word over our life. It doesn't have to be some great prophetic word. It's what the scripture said, what the kingdom is. It's the kingdom is God's presence for us. God's presence is the privilege of his people. And it's ours to have if we operate and understand and walk in this gift more and more. So, as I said, I believe that the Lord wants to bring us into a greater level of breakthrough in every area of our lives, not in just ministry or anything like that, but in every area, marriage, family, all these areas. Now, so faith means putting our trust or our confidence in God and having and confidence that he will fulfill his promises as we come into his presence. So the first thing I want to look at is that about faith is this: faith is a gift. So 1 Corinthians, and this is, you might go, oh, I knew that. But a lot of times we think, you know, we have to conjure up this. You know, I have to believe. No, it's a gift. It's something that I receive, which we'll see. 1 Corinthians 12:9, which I won't turn to there, tells us that faith is a gift given to us by God. Now, because faith is freely given, like any gift, to be enjoyed, it has to be received. Simple, isn't it? It has to be received. And so for faith to grow, it has to be nurtured. Otherwise, it dies. How does it grow? Again, it's simply spending time with Jesus, spending time in his presence, listening to his voice rather than any other voice or any lie that we believe. Now, what does faith do? Faith helps us know God personally. And this is the beauty of faith. It helps us know God personally. So God gives us a gift so that we can know him who is unseen. It's an incredible gift that God's elevated us to be called his children. That's a gift that God's initiated, that we could be his children. So he gives us his gift so we can know him personally and grow in that gift. Faith helps us to understand God's truth, the word of God, clearly. That's what it does. And it makes sense, doesn't it? If I was a father to my children, I want them to know me personally. And I want them to know my instruction. Clean the room. Yeah. Clearly. I want it very clearly. Not in the Greek or Hebrew, but very straight. I want it clearly, a clear response. And this is what faith does. So faith also helps me live in his power. I'm his child. I know him personally. The truth of the word of God becomes clear, and then I start to walk with him in his power. And most importantly, I receive his mercy and his love. Incredible gift. I receive his mercy. And I receive his mercy, guess how much it costs? Freely, because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Freely. But there's a response from me to walk into it, and that's the gift of faith. So in this, God calls us to be like him, to be holy, to be loving, and to walk in his wisdom. God expects more from us than we could simply do by ourselves. He expects more because he wants us to walk in his holiness, he wants us to walk in his love, and he wants us to walk in his wisdom, something that we cannot do. And God expects more from us than we can simply do by ourselves. This is why Jesus came to unite us to himself through the gift of faith, so that we may live in his power and love through who? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit living in us. Wow. Isn't that incredible? God wants us to live in his power, in his love, in his mercy, in his holiness. How does he do it? Jesus came, died on the cross. Jesus unites us to himself through the gift of faith so that we can live in his love, in his goodness, in his mercy. And guess what? The joy of the Lord then becomes my strength because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit living in me. What a gift. What a gift God's given me. But faith has to make a response to the offer that Jesus has given us on the cross. It has to make a response to the generosity of God. God's looking for a counterpart on earth to make a response to his generosity so we can grow in what he wants to release in the earth. And what he wants to release in the earth is no limitation on a people that are formed and called in his likeness and in his nature. He wants to reveal us to the world of the possibility of what it looks like to be a child of God. That's what he wants. But there has to be a response from us. Our joy and privilege in this is to follow Jesus. And because of this, Jesus is always, he's always ready to work in and through us to reveal his glory, because that's how we were created, to receive his glory and to reveal it. That's what we're created to be. But for our faith to be effective, it must be linked, and this is what we have to do, it must be linked to an active submission to God and a willingness to do whatever he commands. Uh-oh. Who likes that bit? Who likes that bit? That's the hinge for an open heaven over your life. A willingness to submit to the will of God. Whatever he's asked you to do, whatever he's commanded you to do. And my experience is, I remember when I first came to the Lord. Actually, I remember when I was a little child, I was about 9, I was laying on my sister's bed thinking about what my life would be when I was 30, which was like a millennial away, right? And I remember this thought, I had this thought, God will call me to be a priest and send me to some foreign country. I was only little and I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. I thought, no way, well, I'm not following the Lord then. That's the thought I had in my head. But my experience, as I've tried to put the will of God first, is the complete opposite. Because as I've said, yes, his love comes in, and then I start to love the things that he loves in me. And I start to love the things that he wants me to do. And he changes me from within. And I want to move from the South Coast to Campbelltown. And actually, I love Campbelltown. I absolutely love it. I'm passionate about it, as you can tell. I go for the West Tigers. They won yesterday. Yes. By 1 point, we got the wooden spoon. Hallelujah. But that's been my experience. So don't balk at submission to God. Don't balk at it. Because he's a father. He wants to be gracious to us. He gave us Jesus. Now, maybe if he wants me to go to a foreign country, maybe he wants me to be martyred, he'll give me the grace because of his love. He's a father. That's exactly how I've experienced him. Sometimes I'm shocked of his generosity. We balk at this, the will of God. We balk at this submission. It's a word we don't like in our culture today. Submission to God and a willingness to do whatever he commands. Now, guess what happens when we do this? This is a key. This is what the devil tries to keep us scared from. He tries to keep us bound by this. Guess what happens when we say yes to God? Guess what happens? It opens the power of God to us. It opens a supernatural realm to us, and it opens this gift of faith where we start to see as God sees, limited. But we start to see realities, how God sees realities over my life personally, over my family, over my marriage. For me, over ministry, he starts to open up. Incrementally, I start to see. Because if he showed you too much, you'd go, whoa. You'd pull back. If God told me that I'd marry Jerry when I was 19 on the beach and she was a rockabilly in the city, and in the city, pale skin, dark clothes, I would have said, no way, God, no way. But I remember when I seen her, something happened in my heart. Because God gives you vision. He opens up the vision. He starts to give. So a willingness to submit to him opens the power of God to us. And this is how we go into another level. It's a willingness. Whatever it is, I'm at home. I have 6 children. I'm a father. I'm a mother. What do I do with my children, Lord? I submit to him. He shows me incrementally. He'll give me insight. He'll show me insights as a father over my children, to speak things over my children. He'll show me the enemy's plan for my children. He'll show me the generational weaknesses in my family that affect certain kids different ways. And then he'll show me how then to speak the word of God into their life to protect their heart so they can grow up in the Lord. That's what he does. It's incredible. So it's not a ministry thing. It's not about healing the sick, raising dead, although that is a component which we may see if I get time. But it's very much about every practical area of our lives. Submitting to the will of God. Submitting to the will of God in my marriage. Submitting to the will of God. Submitting to the will of God as a man. What's masculinity mean in the world today? But as I submit myself to the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth derives its name, God speaks to me. He speaks into me identity. He tells me who I am. I remember when I first was baptized in the Holy Spirit, just after, I remember I heard the Lord speak my name, which was a big thing, because I'll tell you why. My name's Richard, right? A nickname for Richard is Dick. And I remember when I was a little kid, my brothers, I'm youngest of 8 children. I've got 4 big brothers. And they were walking through the primary school where I was, and I was with all my friends. And they called out, I was about 6 years old, they called out, "Hey, Dick." And all the kids, I remember everyone laughing. And I remember I was embarrassed about that situation. It was a wounding in my heart. And I remember when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I heard the Father say, "Richard." He speaks identity. He reversed all that because I said yes. That's what he's like. He whispers to us in the night. He speaks to who we are. So faith is just small responses to whatever the Lord's saying next in your life. Neil Lozano told me this story. He said, how he came into Unbound Ministries. He says it wasn't by any great word of God or any great revelation or something had spoken over him. He said, all I did was say yes to the next thing. And he said, now I've ended up doing what I'm doing now because I've said yes to the next thing. So what's the big word of the Lord over you today? Yes to the next thing. That's all. And then he gives you power. See, when you say yes, it opens you to the power of God. It releases power, a grace for you to achieve what he's asked you to achieve. When that power comes into your life through a yes, guess what? It doesn't just affect the area that you said yes to. It affects every area of your life. All of a sudden, your whole life is opened up to the power of God and to possibilities. Because God's answered a prayer, yes, from my heart, and he may gave me an understanding of something about one of my children. Because I've said yes, it opens me up to every area of my life. Because now the Holy Spirit's indwelling me, and his whole being is resonating in my spirit. And he can do it in every area of my life if I just keep being obedient to the next step. And he's a wonderful father. So faith comes as we grow step by step. Romans 1:7 says, the righteous will live by faith. That's how we live, step by step in faith. So, third point I want to look at, the second point was in there somewhere, but the third point I want to look at is misunderstandings of faith. Now, it's common to think of faith as a statement, something that I agree with in my mind, right? For example, I believe that Jesus is able to heal the sick. Everyone will agree, yes? Although this is a true statement, this is a genuine but a limited kind of faith. James, the book of James chapter 2 verse 19 tells us that even demons believe in God to that degree. Scripture shows us that in fact, Christian faith has this, and this is where, this is what Christian faith is, it has this active dynamic quality about it. It's a personal relationship with the Lord in which we are drawing near to him, right? That's what we're doing in worship. We're drawing near to him, entrusting ourselves, our lives. This is where we have to give God something because it's a covenant relationship. When I married Jerry, I had to give her my life. I laid down my life. She laid down her life. And then something beautiful came out of that life together, our family. So I have to entrust myself to God and I have to give myself to him. It's in this covenant of giving. And then he starts to actively lead me. So faith has this, it's a personal relationship with the Lord in which we're drawing near to God, entrusting ourselves to him, and he is actively leading us. Faith, therefore, takes risks. Faith moves me out of my self-centeredness. Faith moves me towards God, and it strives against every obstacle in my way that seems to block God. Every obstacle, thing that seems to block God, faith moves me beyond that because its sole purpose is to draw me to God, this gift of faith that God's put in me. So we see this in the Gospels. Those who needed healing, they didn't sit at home and simply assume that Jesus would heal them if he wanted to. They or their loved ones actively sought Jesus out. This is the role of faith. This is our response, how we grow. In fact, very often people had to contend to struggle for their healing, which we heard in the gospel today in the traditional church. This shows this active dynamic role of faith, that it's a living encounter with a person who's God. It's this struggle. We're struggling against obstacles of what? Unbelief. Is God real? Does he want to bless me? We're struggling against that. This is what faith does. It pursues God. It has a hunger for God for the end result. The object of faith is God and his promises. This gift gives us this hungry pursuit for God in spite of the circumstances, in spite of healing, in spite of my sickness, in spite of these things. I'm pursuing God. And as I do that, as I grow in that, the barriers start to be removed. Now, I want to look at this fourth point, the dynamic role of faith, and we'll see this in some of the people we see in the scriptures, and then I'm going to come to finish. So, the dynamic role of faith. So this is what Jesus showed the disciples in Luke 17, verses 5 and 6. After observing Jesus over the years, the apostles could not help but notice how significant the role of faith played in Jesus' ministry, in particularly in the ministry of healing. One day they said to him, and everyone would know this verse, I'm sure, they said, increase our faith. He replied, which I think they wouldn't have expected, he replied, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry bush, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Instead of simply agreeing to increase their faith, Jesus challenged them to act on the little faith they had. Amen? Why did he do that? Because he knew if you act on the little you have, it will increase. That was his answer to their prayer. Lord, increase our faith. No, you act on what you have. And that's a challenge for us today. That's a challenge. Every point of need in your life, and this is what Joe read from that song, which I don't know the verse again, but it was about need. But listen to this. This is the nature of faith. Every point of need in your life is a point of contact for faith to work in your life to lift you into the supernatural. Every need. Because otherwise Jesus would have increased their faith. He would have just said, yep, laid hands on them. But he said, no, you act on the little faith you have, because he knew if you acted, you'd move into increase. How do we move to another level? We have to act on what God's given us, the measure of faith that he's given us. And as we act on that measure, he expands that and we grow into another level. Look, I really believe that God wants to lift us into another realm of breakthrough. I have no doubt about it. I have no doubt. But it's how we respond to God and what he's saying to over our lives today. In whatever that is. It may be the most simplest thing. Remember, if you have faith, it doesn't take a lot of faith, just as small as a mustard seed. But it's a response of the heart to God. Now, Romans 12:6 tells this, if a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. When we are faithful, F-A-I-T-H, space, F-U-L-L, faithful with what God's given us. So if I'm faithful to the small measure of faith that God gives me, if I'm full, guess what he'll do? He'll increase it. If I don't use what he's given me, guess what? I'll lose it and it dies. Jesus told this in the parable of the 10 miners. Luke 9:17, well done, good and faithful servant, his master replied, because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. Small response, exponential increase. That's what faith does, because it elevates us into the supernatural. Little response, exponential result. Jesus tells his disciples and those who responded faithfully by exercising the gifts entrusted to them that he'd give them more gifts and responsibility. The point is, no matter how weak our faith may be, the way to increase it is by stepping out in faith as the Lord leads. So we're listening for God's voice. Now this takes us out of our comfort zone, doesn't it? It puts some responsibility on us, takes us out of ourselves, but it brings us into God's realm, the supernatural. And this is where we see the exponential effect of what God's asked us to do. So on one occasion, before Jesus did a healing or an exorcism, he explicitly challenged people to stretch their faith, to believe to a greater degree than they had before. In Mark, I'm just going to finish after these few scriptures. In Mark 9:22-23, he said this, when the man with an epileptic son begged Jesus, if you can do anything, have pity on us. Jesus replied, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. And in Mark 5:36, Jairus, the synagogue official, had faith that Jesus could heal his sick daughter. But when messengers came to him to say that his daughter was dead, he was crushed. Jesus called him to a greater faith than he had imagined possible, a faith that could even raise the dead, Jesus said to him, do not fear. See what works opposite the faith? Fear. Jesus said, do not fear, only believe. Faith is this disposition of the heart that opens a way for Jesus to work in our lives in a greater measure in the supernatural. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm just going to read one more point, a couple more points about how to break through in faith, because God wants to release us, again, I feel like, into another level of breakthrough. In Matthew 9:29, when the disciples asked Jesus why they had been unable to drive out an evil spirit from epileptic boy, he answered, this type comes out by prayer and fasting. Now, in the same scripture in Matthew, Jesus gives a different response. He says, because of your little faith. See, the obstacle to move into the things of God is little faith. But look what Jesus says. Really interesting, this point, and I'll finish on this. He says, for truly I say to you, if you have faith as a grain as a mustard seed, again, he says, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, these may seem like total different answers to what happened. But they're not. They're keys to growing in faith. Our faith is strengthened by prayer, which leads us to a deeper heart knowledge of the Lord. Now, the prayer and fasting, it's interesting. What fasting does, this is where we're talking about exponential effect of faith, but fasting has an exponential action on our hearts. Who's ever fasted? Now, I love surfing. I love it now in its right place. But if I was on a tropical island with perfect waves, perfect temperature, and had all the food that I wanted, I'd be exhibiting every fruit of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Because I'm in a nice place. I'm in a comfortable place. If you start to take those things away from me, I start to exhibit what's really in my heart. And that's what fasting does. It strips me of my self-reliance. So when I fast, I usually get agitated. I usually get irritated. And God's revealing my heart. Now, where fasting has this effect to bring me and to grow me in faith, when I yield in those moments, so I remember like fasting, trying to avoid fasting, so you'd juice everything, or you know, you'd get a baked dinner and you'd pulp it into it. And then on top of that, you just eat dry bread and say that's fasting. So, but what fasting does, it reveals what your heart's attached to other than the Lord. So Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's about relationship. So when I start to fast, the key to fasting is prayer and fasting. Because I yield. And when I yield, I come into the supernatural life. And what happens in that? I start to hear the voice of God over my life. That's what it does. It's not magic. It's not something that God wants us to do to, like, because he hates us or anything like that. He wants us to come into this supernatural life. And as we came into this greater into this supernatural life, we come into alignment with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said he only did what he saw the Father doing? And that's what it does. Prayer and fasting gives that exponential effect where we start to see what the Father does. And then when we align to that and we do it, we see the supernatural released in our lives. So what I want to do, I just want to finish it there, but what I want to do, I want to just do two things. The first point I made was about Abram. He did not waver in unbelief concerning the promises of God, but as he gave glory to God, he was strengthened in his faith. They're the two key points. Are we willing in a fresh way to put God first above everything else? That's what we want to ask ourselves the question. Are we willing? Because this will elevate us into a level of breakthrough. Are we willing? Now, that's our lives with the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal that. What am I elevating in my life? What am I worshipping in my life other than God? Now, we can go into idols and all those things, but it may be things like worry or anxiety or fear. What am I putting above God that's restricting Him to move in a powerful way? That's the first thing. The second thing is, every need in our life is a point of contact for God to move in our life if I yield it to Him. Now, this doesn't mean that every need I have, that I'll receive the answer to that. But it means that I'll come into an encounter with the Lord there at a need. And this is what we see in the scriptures. When people needed healing, they went to Jesus. It's a point of contact for Jesus to encounter them in their lives. And they're the two things that I believe that God wants to do in our lives. If we bring every need we have, yield to Him. The second, if we put God in the first place, I believe that the Lord will release us into a new level, whatever that is in our lives, however that works.